Our text this evening is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16. But I'm going to make a comment or two from Exodus, chapter 12. So you may want to have your Bible open to both of those locations. Exodus, chapter 12, for just a moment, and then Deuteronomy, chapter 16. When the new year came at our house this week, it found us sleeping. Not because we weren't trying to stay awake and see it in. We had one child who specifically wanted to stay up and see what it was like for the first time to see the new year come in. And so there we sat on the couch waiting and waiting until finally, maybe 10 or 15 minutes before midnight, we finally fell asleep. And when we woke up, we found that the new year seemed an awful lot like the old year. There was no excitement. There was really nothing memorable to the change of the new year. Just the second on the clock ticked by, and now we were in a new day and in a new year. But the coming of the new year, specifically the religious new year or the sacred new year for Israel, was not so quiet and so uneventful. They had been slaves in Egypt for more than 400 years, and they had been longing for God to take them out of Egypt. And God had in recent days been at work. He had been sending a series of plagues upon the Egyptians in order to soften Pharaoh enough that his people could go free. And when we get to Exodus chapter 12, we're at the portion of the narrative where we're finding that this is now the final plague that God is going to send. It is the plague which will, in God's providence, actually soften Pharaoh's heart, at least momentarily, enough to allow God's people to go free. This plague is the means of God's deliverance. It's the means of God's salvation for his people. And it is remembered as the Passover. And so when you get to Exodus chapter 12, what you begin to read is God's description or his instructions of what he wants to happen in order for the Passover to take place. And he begins to describe all sorts of things that need to be done. But I'd like to point out very simply the first two verses of Exodus chapter 12, because what God is doing here is he's marking this off as something very significant. Notice verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you.'" So in Israel's sacred or religious calendar, this now was the new year. This was the beginning of months. It was the first month that was different from their regular civil calendar, but it was very specific. God is very specific here in saying that this deliverance from Egypt, this moment of salvation by God's powerful work, is something that is to be remembered as a new year. It's the beginning of months. And the instructions here in Exodus chapter 12 are not just for the Passover, which is to take place on this occasion, but as you read them, you see that God is providing in these instructions a number of things that are to be remembered every year and in successive years to come. This is something that is not to be forgotten. This deliverance, this salvation, is something which is full of all sorts of pictures, pictures that are pregnant with meaning. Yes, God is doing something very mighty and powerful on this occasion. He is working a very great deliverance of his people. But this is a picture of something God is going to do in the future. Again, something mighty and powerful. Again, a deliverance or salvation that he's going to bring for his people. And God is pointing to that in these pictures. So tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, I'd like to take just a few moments to notice these instructions for the remembrance of the Passover that we have. And you find them here in Deuteronomy 16, so you can flip over there to Deuteronomy 16 for a moment. Tony, this seems a little loud and like it's ringing. If you wouldn't mind, turn it down just a little bit. Thank you. Deuteronomy 16, God tells his people not only what he wants them to remember, but he tells them why he wants them to remember these things. And we find in Deuteronomy 16 this theme of remembrance again. We're going to read the first 8 verses together. Verse 1 says, "Observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. You shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to establish his name. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. For 7 days no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory, and none of the flesh which you sacrificed on the evening of the first day shall remain overnight until morning. You are not allowed to sacrifice the Passover in any of your towns which the Lord your God is giving you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name, you shall sacrifice the Passover in the evening at sunset, at the time that you came out of Egypt. You shall cook and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses. In the morning, you are to return to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day there shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it." And then look down to verse number 12. "You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." In Deuteronomy 16 here, there are three special celebrations or festivals that are described. These are the three festivals that all Jewish males would be required to attend. If possible, they could bring their families with them. They had to attend these things in Jerusalem, the place, as we read there, where God has chosen to establish his name. And the three festivals are the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which were often really seen together. The Passover happened, and then there was a 7-day celebration, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the first. And then there's the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, as we know it probably better. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Our attention tonight is really just drawn just to a couple verses here in describing the Feast of the Passover and Unleavened Bread. At the start of Israel's new year, much like the start of our new year, just a couple days ago, God is very intent that his people remember what he had done specifically in rescuing them, in redeeming them, in saving them from their slavery in Egypt. The Passover is not something that we celebrate still today. If you read the Gospels, you'll notice that what Jesus does on the night before his betrayal and his death is he has a meal with his disciples in the upper room, and that meal he has with them is the Passover meal. It is the final Passover. It's no longer necessary. It doesn't have to point to anything. He is the Passover lamb, and in that meal, that last Passover becomes the first communion or Lord's Supper, which we remember here tonight. And here at the beginning of this year, this new year, these reminders of God's marvelous, miraculous salvation and rescue in the Passover, I think, are good meditations for us for just a moment as we come to the Lord's table. I'd like to point out three things that we should remember, what God's done for us. Number one, I needed to be rescued. God wants us to remember, I needed to be rescued. Look down again at verse number 1 of Deuteronomy 16. "Observe the month of Abib." This is the month that later is called Nisan. You see it other places in the Bible by that name. "Observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night." This special month, this first month, was a month in which there was a special celebration, a Passover, that God wanted to be remembered, and he wanted it to be celebrated every year with these specific things that had to be done, with these pictures these pictures that pointed to something. Why? Well, you see, he says that there in verse number 1, because that's when the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. God is very intent that this be remembered. That's when God rescued you. That's when God redeemed you. That's when God saved you. You know, when you read through the book of Exodus and you read what's happening in God's rescue of his people from Egypt, you kind of step back and you say, man, that situation is really bad. Here is God, and it seems like he's facing off with Pharaoh himself. And God sends plague after plague after plague, and they don't seem to be working. Instead of Pharaoh's heart softening, it's hardening. And it's as though Pharaoh is saying, God, throw at me whatever you will. I can take it. These people will not go free. It is an impossible situation. Who could possibly deliver these people? This is a desperate situation. And clearly, this picture is meant to remind us of the very same situation in our life. It's meant to remind us of our desperate need to be rescued. We were slaves. We were enemies of the Almighty God. Our situation was something from which we could not deliver ourselves. And no ordinary rescuer could show up on the scene and rescue us. Only a perfect Savior could do what had to be done to provide our rescue. God wants us to remember that we needed to be rescued. When we come to the Lord's table tonight, we need to remember these very same things. God brought us out of slavery. Not slavery in Egypt to some cruel pharaoh or dictator. He brought us out of a slavery to our own sin. A slavery from which we could never deliver ourselves. A slavery which was very cruel, and maybe worst of all, a slavery which we didn't even realize that we were in. And God wants us to remember these things tonight. As we understand all that the Passover pictures and the redemptive purposes of God, I think we can look at verse number 1 and we can read these words in a very personal way. We can read, the Lord your God brought you out. That's something we should remember tonight. The Lord your God brought you out. So remember, I needed to be rescued. Secondly, remember, I needed a substitute. I needed a substitute. He goes on to say in verse number 2 there, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord your God, or where the Lord chooses to establish his name. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. The Passover service was really full of pictures, and these pictures are full of meaning. Deuteronomy 16 is not quite as complete in its instructions about the Passover as Exodus 12 was, but if you go to Exodus 12 again and you were to read those instructions, you would see that God says that a lamb should be taken, a male, unblemished, yearling lamb should be taken on the 10th day of the month, and that lamb is to be kept until the 14th day of the month so that you can watch it. And you can indeed confirm that this lamb is unblemished, that there is nothing wrong with this lamb. Now, we know that as we come into the New Testament and we watch the Gospels play out and we see what Jesus does and we see that he is crucified on Passover and he is the Passover lamb that God provides. And then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and we read that Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. We understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of these pictures. And when he came, he didn't just come down from heaven and go straight to the cross. But he came and he lived among us. And we watched his life. And we saw over the period of 33 years that he was indeed unblemished. He was indeed sinless. He was this Passover lamb. And he became the substitute. That's what happened here on the Passover. If you read about it in Exodus, the death angel was coming. And as the death angel came, there was nothing that could protect the people from the death that certainly was coming. Save one thing, and that was the blood of this lamb. This little lamb would have to be killed, and its blood would have to be taken and applied to the doorposts of the house and the lintel. And only then, when the blood was applied and the angel passed over, only then was there salvation. Only then was there protection. The safety within that house was only safety because of the blood. And that's the picture here. This little lamb had to be killed and its blood had to be applied for the salvation of those within. Yes, the blameless life of Jesus was important, but also the sacrificial death of Jesus. His blood is also important. If there is no blood, there is no salvation. Only by death could there be salvation. And this little lamb was the sacrifice, the substitute, which life was given for the salvation of another. Tonight, we remember this very thing. We will, in just a few minutes, hold in our hands a little cup, which is a picture of the blood and the death of the substitute in my behalf. Someone died so I didn't have to. And it's to remind us what God says in His Word, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness, there is no safety. But because of the shedding of the blood, because of the substitute who died in my place, God's judgment may pass over, because it was indeed put on another. And so this lamb and this blood are important pictures. But so is the bread. You see there that verse 3 speaks of this bread, this unleavened bread, which is called here the bread of affliction. It's bread which was meant to remind the people of their slavery in Egypt. It couldn't be baked in such a way that it had leaven in it and had time to rise, because there was no time for that evening. God was bringing His people out. He was rescuing them, and so they had to bake unleavened bread. And this bread would remind them of their time in Egypt, just as food often has a way of reminding us of things. You may have a special thing that you enjoy eating, and when you eat it, it reminds you of something always. God uses these little pictures, these little elements, which we will share as something to remind us of these truths. And that's really what Jesus does. The Lord's Supper, which He shares with His disciple that night, He takes this bread and He takes this cup and He makes them pictures of what He is about to accomplish. These pictures point to Him as the substitutionary sacrifice. So we need to remember that I needed to be rescued. I needed a substitute. And thirdly, this evening, I still need to remember. I still need to remember. This meal with these symbols is not over. God wants it to be remembered still today. Why? I tried to emphasize this as I read from verse number 3, the second half of verse 3. God says that. Here's what I want you to do. And He says, now here's why, the second half of verse 3. So that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. So that you may remember. Notice that word remember again down in verse 12. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. Remember. Remember when God brought you out. Remember how God brought you out. Remember the lamb who was slain. Remember the blood that by faith was applied to your life so that you might be safe. Remember. Jesus picks that word remember up, and in that supper that He has with His disciples, He says that very thing. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And tonight, that's exactly what we want to do as we come to this table. Remember that I needed to be rescued. I needed a substitute. And I still need to remember.